Thank you, Fenno. Thank you, Kelly.
It's nice to be here again this morning. It is warm inside. Maybe it'll get warmer. Maybe it'll get cooler. Hopefully not. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, for a few verses in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Just reading a few verses. Some lovely singing this morning. Franklin, that was a beautiful song. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that the world needs today. The Lord Jesus Christ. Many people today say, I believe in God. But most of those people, or a lot of them, don't believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 40, reading in at verse 21. Isaiah 40, reading in at verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. There's a significance of mankind as God looks at them. Just like grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will they liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by His name, all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. And we'll stop our reading there. Then we'll turn over to John chapter 3. Thank you, Fennel. This morning I'm going to have three headings. You can mark them down if you will. Two L words and two B words. The first one is the love that brought. The love that brought. John 3:16. Secondly, the look that believes. And thirdly, the lake that burns. Every single one of these are in the scriptures. The love that brought. The look that believes. Do you know you can be saved this morning by your good looks? You say, how's that? Take a good look at yourself first. And then take a good look at the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that center cross, my friends. You can be saved by your good looks. The look that believes. And lastly, the lake that burns. And we don't like to talk about that. The lake that burns for all eternity. And there's people this morning sitting here who are going to make choices, if you haven't already. And it may be the look that believes, or someday it may be the lake that burns. But first of all, the Lord Jesus, the love that brought salvation down to man. And we sang about Him this morning. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And there is none other. None other. Reading in at John chapter 3 and verse 16. A verse that is so familiar. You'll see it on placards. You'll see it everywhere in homes. You'll see it everywhere. You see it even at rinks and so on. People have it held up. It is the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17, for the God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The love that brought. For God so loved. We heard this morning, so loved. For God, He is the sovereign God. He is the one we just read about in Isaiah chapter 40. He sits upon the circle of the world. He names every star, but every star has a name. And how many is there? In the gospel, it says that speaks about our hairs of our head. He has every one of them numbered. Over 6.5 billion people in the world today. And when a hair falls out, He has it numbered. The
The Bible says about every sparrow that falls, he sees every one. How many sparrows is there? Plus all the other animals. You know what? Today, probably there is no God is a mindset of the world today. Probably there is no God. What kind of an idiotic statement is that? Our brother said, on the very tip of most of our tongues is that very saying. Probably there is no God. Why? Because we don't want to have someone that we have to be responsible to. We have to be accountable to. So in that case, we're going to take his son right out of the way. We're going to take him out of the way too. The love that brought God, the sovereign God, so loved the world. And when you see the word world, I'm not a Greek expert, but you know what the word world means? It spells in Greek K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. That is society without God. My friend, every person is born into this world, into the society without God. That is politically, socially, religiously, and culturally. This world is in the lap of the wicked one. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, the whole world, that is cosmos, lieth in wickedness or in the lap of the wicked one. And if you're not saved this morning, you are a child of the devil. That's also in 1 John. And many people, even some evangelists, say, oh, well, we're not children of the devil. By creation, we were children of God. But what happened? We were made in the image of God, but what happened? Man fell. He became ruined. Damaged goods. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. He just didn't love. He so loved the world. You go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love is this? That God should call you a child of God, those of us who are saved. He has lavished upon us that we should be called a child of God. Behold, what manner, what kind of love. It is foreign love. The world cannot understand it. It is absolutely beyond our comprehension. God so loved the world. Go to Romans chapter 5. God commendeth his love towards us. He demonstrated fully. Where? At Calvary's cross. God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, lawbreakers, Christ died for us. What kind of love are we talking about? In the gospel it says this, greater love hath no man that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You go back to Romans chapter 5, it says, when we were enemies, not only did he lay down his life for his friends, but enemies. And for 31 years I was an enemy of God. And if you're not saved this morning, you are an enemy of God. If there's not a time in your life when you bowed your knee and you said, Lord, I am the sinner, when you took a good look at yourself and said, I am not worthy. And then you looked at Christ on the cross. And you understood why he was there. And we all know it wasn't because of his own sin. It was because of mine and because of yours. God so loved the world. If you read this verse and you count the words in it, there's 25 words in this verse. 25 words in the little verse of John 3:16. Guess the word that's right in the middle, the 13th word, Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All that first 12 words is all about God. God's giving, and he's still giving today. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That word, only begotten, is the only one that is unique. His unique Son. Why was he unique? Because he never sinned. We heard this morning, Proverbs chapter 8, he was daily the Father's delight before the foundation of the world. Always with him, always pleasing him. Even when he came to the earth, the Lord would look down and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Every day, every moment. surrounded by sinners. For 33 plus years, he walked in this earth. He never sinned once, not once. And that is the person that died for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The last 12 words, follow the Son. And that all relates to you and I as people. That whosoever, put your name in there, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. We forget about that word, perish, but have everlasting life. We see God's giving, we see man's responsibility, and right in the middle between God and man is his Son, Jesus Christ. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ so important? Because he is our access to God's heaven. He is everything to us if we want to get into God's heaven, if we want to be saved. Because you know what? If you're not saved this morning, go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says this. Paul was speaking to Christians there, and he says, is that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, ever been felt alienated from anything? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants or promises of God, having no hope without God in this world. That's what you are this morning if you're not saved, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You have no hope. You have no God in your life, and you have no Christ. First of all, the source, God. God so loved the world. Then we see the subjects. God so loved the world, that is society without God. You and I, part of it. Society without God. God so loved the world that he gave. Then we see the substitute. He gave what? He gave his only begotten Son. His Son, the Son of his love, his beloved Son, his unique Son, only one of a kind. He gave him. Without sin, that's what it said in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. He didn't come to hurt us. He came to harm us. He came to help us. The people will spit on him like they did at the cross of Calvary. They will walk on his name. They'll bring him down. They'll say he was nothing. He could have sinned. We are those subjects. We are a society without God, and we hate when we hear about his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only way that we can get back to God. He is our substitute. And finally, in that verse, the sureness or security that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is your part of the verse. That is your choice. Whosoever believeth in him. And we're going to look at that in a moment about believing. Believing. Having confidence in. To know for sure. Paul would say, I know whom I have believed. You know that this morning? I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, convinced, that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can you say that this morning? I know whom I have believed. Paul did. He was willing to lay down his life. We must go on to the next one. Go back up to verse 14 of chapter 3. In this particular chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was walked on this earth, he was speaking to a man called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, someone who knew the Old Testament, probably backwards and forwards, but he was not saved. As we read down through this, you could see that he didn't understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about when he was talking about spiritual things. Just like the religions of today, they have absolutely no idea what we're talking about when we're talking about spiritual things. Why? Because they're blinded by the God of this world. They're outside of Christ. They're not indwelt by the Spirit of God. They cannot be taught. They cannot see. They're blinded. And this man who was an absolute genius, if you would at his time, he was a teacher of the law. He was morally correct. He was outstanding. He was uplifted, exalted by the people of the time. And yet he did not understand what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he said, you must be born again. He thought he was talking about physical birth. And the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about spiritual birth. Being born from above, being born of God, being born of the Spirit of God. And this man couldn't understand it. So the Lord took him back to Numbers chapter 21. And this verse 14, look what it says. He says to Nicodemus in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And verse 15 goes along with it, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The look that believes. The look that believes. And if we're going to go over to Numbers 21, you can turn there, keep your finger back in this chapter. We're going to read a few verses in Numbers 21. It says there, the people, if they beheld, the word behold means to investigate. It doesn't mean just to have a quick glance. It means to look at. It means to study. It means to investigate. And when people investigate what Jesus Christ is doing on the cross for them, they will be saved. Because you have an interest. Because you have a desire. People today, we have cross. I saw a car the other day hanging from its mirror, a crucifix. We go into people's homes, there's crucifix. We see crosses tattooed all over people's bodies. I saw a person the other day, he had crosses everywhere. Didn't have a clue what they mean. Or certainly not the right idea. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Turn over to Numbers chapter 21. This is what the story he was referring to. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. He knew he didn't understand. He said, Nicodemus, turn back to Numbers chapter 21. And we're going to read in at verse 4. The previous verses before this, the Lord Jesus Christ had led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He had made them victorious in all their different battles and so on. He had just barely completed that. And in verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." They were downcast. They were discouraged. It was a long way. "And the people spake against God and against Moses." Moses was the leader. Moses was the go-between, if you will. "Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread?" Is that true? He was feeding them angel food from heaven. "There is no bread, neither is there any water." Did he not give them water? Remember when Moses was supposed to speak to the rock? "Water in abundance. There is no water. Neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread." They just said there was no bread. And now they say, "We hate this light bread," or this manna. Bread from heaven. Isn't that a picture of you and I? We're never contented. We're always growling, complaining. And here's the children of Israel after the Lord had brought them out of Egypt with Moses. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." There's people dying today at this very moment who are going to a place called hell. All bitten by the serpent again, by an old serpent way back in the Garden of Eden, whose venom runs through the veins of every man, woman, and child in this world. It is sin. Sin that we don't like to talk about. Even as Christians. Sin. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned.'" There it is right there. "For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld that serpent, looked at it and believed, what happens? The serpent of brass, he lived. Go back over to John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 14, he's saying to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, Moses, or Nicodemus, just like Moses put that brass serpent on a pole, he said, when those people who were dying because they were bitten by fiery serpents, he said, when they looked at that pole, if they would, they would be healed. He said, do you get it, Nicodemus? I wonder how many people, after Moses put that fiery serpent on a pole, how many looked at that pole? How many more of them died? Because what would they say? I don't need some old pole to look at that stupid man Moses put up. I need a doctor. I need medication. I need a clergyman here. I need something else. And I wonder how many of them died even after that pole was raised. Same thing today. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't have to look at him. I can do it my way. Isn't that what Frank Sinatra used to say? I did it my way. I wonder where Frank Sinatra is today. My friends, if he's not saved, if he never looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you where he's at. He's in a place called hell. How do I know that? Because the Scriptures tells me that. It's not my opinion. It's God's Word. And that's what God is trying to do, is get people's attention to say, listen, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. All I ask you to do is to believe it. Take God at His Word. God said it. That settles it, and I believe it. That's what God wants. And when people understand that they're a sinner, they're a lawbreaker, they have transgressed against God, they need to be saved, they need to be cleansed by His Son's precious blood, then He can deal with us. But to get a person to that place is absolutely hard. Why? Because we're all high-minded. We're not very humble. The Lord came to save what? Sinners. But not too many of us want to take that place. He didn't come to save the self-righteous, the religious. And you speak to someone about Jesus Christ, and you know what they'll say? I have my religion. I go to a certain church. I go every Sunday. I give money. What do you think you're talking about? I don't need Jesus Christ. I have my religion. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, just like that serpent was lifted up to heal those people, he said, I will be lifted up on the cross of Calvary, on a stick, on a pole, on Calvary. My friends, he doesn't want us to look at the pole. He wants us to look at the person on the pole, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And as you read from Genesis right through to Revelations, you'll see a picture over and over and over again of the Lamb of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who was sacrificed. He is the one who shed his blood. He was the one who was holy, harmless, undefiled. He was the only one that God could use. He was the one who died for you. He died for me. And when we come to the place and we understand that I'm a sinner, I am the one who broke the law, God's law, everything I do, say, whatever. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for every sin. But I only come into the good of it when I accept what Jesus Christ has done for me. When I believe. What's it say in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, verses 8 and 9? For by grace are you saved. That's how you're saved. The word grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace means God giving to you something you do not deserve. For by grace are you saved. It doesn't stop there, does it? For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Believing. Looking and believing at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you enter into God's grace, is by believing. Trusting. Having faith in. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one is going to get to God's heaven boasting about how they got there. I did it my way, you're not going to be there. I did it someone else's way, you're not going to be there. I did it God's way, you will be there when you do it God's way. And his way is what? John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Plain as a nose on your face. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way into God's heaven. And yet people today, probably there is no God. Enjoy life and have fun. Duh. Do we all die? Yes. The Bible says that. Does the sun come up in the east and set in the west? The Bible says that. Is the earth round, which we just read in Isaiah 40? How long did it take man to discover that? And all he had to do was go to the Word of God. He sits upon the circle of the world and a square. Wow. Do you see what I'm pointing out, folks, is the ignorance of mankind, the stupidity of our thinking. And we're living in a world with a mindset that probably there is no God. We talked this morning that God has done everything for us. You went to Psalm 14, it says, God looked down, he saw the filthiness of man. Then it says in John's Gospel, the Lord came down. The Lord kneeled down in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says in 1 John, the Lord laid down his life. And then the Lord sat down. We sang a song this morning, done is the work. The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything for us, absolutely everything, and all he asks us to do is to look and believe. And we can't get that into our heads. Look. Investigate. Study. Understand what Jesus Christ was doing on Calvary's cross. We heard somebody mention this morning. Why did Jesus have to die for me? Why did he have to die for me? Because I would never make it to heaven. If Jesus Christ wasn't lifted up on a pole, on the cross, if he never suffered, bled, and died for me, I would have nothing to look forward to but the lake of fire. The love that brought salvation down to man, the look that believes, the love that brought, the look that believes, and finally, the lake that burns. Why is it called a lake? I don't know. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. This event will happen after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. People who are not saved will already be in a place called a holding place, if you will, called hell, basically. Hades in the scripture. Already suffering for 1,000 years. And it speaks now about a second death. It speaks now about the great white throne judgment. And all those who will be standing there are those who already have been condemned to a lost eternity. Did God send them there? God gives every single man, woman, and child a free will choice. As we already mentioned, he has done everything for us. But God will not beat you over the head. He will not make men caveman. He will not lead men and women caveman style into his heaven. He gives you a choice. And so if you end up in this place called a lake of fire, whose fault is it? God's or yours? It says in Romans chapter 3, the whole world will stand before him guilty. All mouths will be stopped. There will be no one standing at this place that's going to say, God, I didn't understand. God, you didn't give me a chance. God, I didn't hear. I didn't see. No one will open their yap. Excuse the language. No one will open their mouth. Look what it says. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth. Now listen, quite a difference in this second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he came as a babe in a manger. He came with love. He came down to save mankind. Look what he's doing here. Look at the throne here. I saw a great white throne. Him that sat on it, that white throne would speak of his purity, his holiness. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven, listen to that, fled away, and there was found no place for them. Pretty scary situation. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Do you know God has taken an account of everything that you have and have done in your life so far? He knows your thoughts, your motives, your intentions, and your actions. He knows everything you're thinking right now. And somehow we think that God just forgets about things. He's the greatest accountant that ever was. He's got everything marked down. It says the books will be opened. Books will be opened. That'll be the books of man's works. And also, I believe it'll be the Bible will be opened. If you go to John's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 48, it says about the Bible being there, every man will be judged according to his word. And then there's another book called the Book of Life. If you're saved this morning, your name is there. But if you're not saved this morning, your name is not there. That book is going to be open just to make sure that your name is not there. Which the Book of Life and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their words, works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell death and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, or the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. There is the word lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember that little word, whosoever? John chapter 3. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Here it is. Whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. I want you to go down to verse 8 of chapter 21. The first part of chapter 21 speaks about heaven. The last part speaks about heaven. But look at this little verse right in the middle of chapter 21. And it changes over again back to the lake of fire. Look what it says. But the fearful, remember and take into mind the two words that start off this group of people. There's 8 different groups of people who are cast in the lake of fire. Look at the first two groups. The fearful. The fearful. We'll talk about that in a second. And the unbeliever. And then look at the group as it follows. But those are the first two groups. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. Oh, lovely group, aren't they? And then the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Some people say, you know what, I'm going to hell. I'm going to go there and I'm going to have a party with all my friends because all my friends are going there too. Look at that group of people. You want to call them your friends? Whoremongers? Idolaters? Murderers? Some party you want to be. But I want you to go back to those first two words. The fearful, who are they? People who are afraid of man. That is, they've heard the gospel, probably. But they're too scared of their parents. They're too scared of their friends. They don't want to have to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. I am saved. I am cleansed. The fearful. The fearful. In other words, knowing full well they should be saved and are not saved. The fearful, cowardly, afraid to confess Christ. Then we see the unbelievers. Those who just willfully or unwillingly will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing full well, listen, we have this statement today. I just don't want to go there. Did you ever hear that statement? I just don't want to go there. When somebody brings up something that is sensitive or somebody doesn't want to talk about, what do they say? I just don't want to go there. The unbelieving are those people who know about the Savior. They know they should be saved. Do you know what? They put it in their mind that they are not going to accept Jesus Christ. They're going to just live out their life, and whatever happens, happens. The unbeliever, the unbelieving, who knows full well they should be saved, but willfully they say no to Christ. How many people today are doing that? And probably sitting in church pews today. But deep in their mind they say, I am not going to be saved. I was for 31 years. I was raised in the Christian assembly. For 31 years, I said, I know how to be saved. I could have told anyone how to be saved. I said, I don't want to be saved because I want to enjoy this life. I want to have fun. I want to have the pleasures of all this world. And I was a non-believer, and thank God at the age of 31, I got saved. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, who are they? Disgusting immorality, murderers, malicious, savage killers. We're seeing this more and more today. All these things, whoremongers, sexually immoral, fornicators, sorcerers, those who traffic with evil spirits, idolaters, insulting God, worshiping other gods. You know what an idolater is? Anyone who worships anything else outside of God. Anything that takes the place of God is an idolater. Anything. And the last one, all liars, compulsive deceivers. And those are the group of people who are going to be in hell. If you want to go to one more, you could go back over to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Look at this. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Another great friend. He deceived you all his life. And he's going to be a friend of yours in hell. With all the whoremongers and murderers and everything. And people are going to go to hell and have a party. And the first two groups of people God puts there is the fearful and the unbelieving. That's not a very nice place to go. And it says, the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone for all eternity. Because people chose to go there. The love that brought. God could not give anything better. He could not give anything more. He gave his only beloved son, his unique son, his one-of-a-kind son, someone who never, ever, ever sinned. And he came down. He was made to be sin for you and I. He was punished. We heard this morning. He never opened his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Listen. This is the one that people amaze at the gracious words that come out of his mouth. This is the one who spoke things. I mean, we see the water just becoming like glass after that storm. And yet when he was dying for your sins, it says he never spoke a word. The love of God. Because he made up his mind to die for you before the foundation of the world. For God so loved the world, society without God, that he gave his only unique son, that whosoever, put your name in there, believeth in him, looks and believeth in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Where are you in that verse? Where will you be when you leave this afternoon? I'll tell you, time is running out. How many people who are older like me remember the last 25 years? How fast they have gone. God has allotted you a number of years to live upon this earth. And if you're not saved when you pass from this earth, the choice that you have made will put you in the place or destiny either in heaven or in hell. All because you made the choice, not because God did. He has done absolutely everything for you. Creatures who spat upon His Son, who beat His Son, who whipped His Son, who crucified His Son. He still loves you, and the door of grace is still open today. All you have to do is enter in by what? Faith. Believing. Trusting, having confidence in what Jesus Christ has done for you, that He died, and when He died, He paid for every sin, past, present, future. I believe it because God said it, and I bank my life on it. And I'm going to live for Him. Why? Because of what He did for me. Will you do that? That's up to you. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the name of Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for heaven's gift. The wages of sin is death, Thy word would say. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a Savior. What provision You have made for us. Father, please, by the Spirit of God, open eyes this morning, open hearts. We pray, Father, the Spirit of God would speak to those in our midst, saint and sinner alike, that we would appreciate those of us who are saved a little more what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us. And Father, if we're not saved, there's just some here this morning who are not saved, we pray the Spirit of God would break down those barriers in their hearts, soften their hearts, convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Father, that they too would come to know Christ as their Savior even this morning. Part us with Thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we sing a couple of verses of number 62, I believe it is, Just As I Am, and then the meeting will be over. I got 1 minute. You say, how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? How do I come to Him? Come just as you are. Don't go home and try to get cleaned up. Don't go home and try to get pretty. Don't go home and try to clean up your life because you can't do it. I couldn't, and you can't either. Come just as you are, and you say, Lord, I'm the sinner. You are the Savior. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I will repent of my sins, and I want to live for You. Number 62, verses 1 and 5.
Just as I am.
Verse 5, just